we're going to do today is I'm going to talk for 10 minutes max right now. People are pointing at me and laughing at me when I said that. Then we're going to sing a few more songs. I'm going to come up and read some more scripture and sing some more songs. The whole point of today is to give thanks to the Lord for the weekend. So we're suspending our Philippians series for 1 week and looking at a passage in 1 Chronicles verse chapter 16. So it'll all be on the screen. So I'm going to encourage you to pay attention to the screen because we're going to do a responsive reading. After this reading, and I give you the background to it, we're going to go into singing. Here's what I'm going to ask of you. And they pay me good money here to make you mad, okay? Because we're a small group, I'm going to ask you, during those next two songs, just move forward some, okay? That's where I know people are going to get mad at me.
I told them that we weren't going to ask them to move their seats.
You did that?
Well, I did.
You should have got permission first before you told them that. The beauty of coming closer together is voices are compounded then. I just love it. It's all about me up here in the front row to hear you. So anyways, Father, thank you for your word today, and we hope and trust that this service honors you, brings glory to you, and truly, Lord, that we have a heart of gratitude for all you have done for us, from the large things like Jesus dying for us to the very smallest things in daily life, that you are the source of all good blessings, Father. So thank you. We hope you are honored. In Christ's name, I thank you. Amen. So we're going to look at 1 Chronicles 16. This is a story of when David brings the ark back to Jerusalem. So you probably have heard the story before because there's some tragedy with it. 40 years earlier, approximately, the Philistines had gone to war with Israel, and Israel took the ark as though it was a good luck charm, into battle. And the Israelites lost, and the Philistines got the ark. And of course, then the Philistines put it in their temple to Dagon. I don't know how you say it. But then they put Yahweh, what represented the presence of Yahweh in the temple with this idol. In the morning they went back in and the idol was on its face. They picked the idol back up, stood it up. The next day they come back, the idol's on its face again, bowing down to Yahweh. Third time they come in, the idol's on its face, but its heads, legs, and arms are all chopped off. And there's just the torso sitting there. So the Philistines were scared. So they put it on a cart and just sent it away. It ends up at a Jewish man's house named Abinadab. It ends up at his house for 30, 40 years. Saul becomes king. David becomes king. And David says, I'm bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. If you remember the story, David puts it on a cart. And the ox are pulling the cart. And a man named Uzzah, the cart tips. And the ark almost falls off. So Uzzah reaches out to grab the ark to keep it from falling over. Remember what happened to Uzzah? Dropped dead on the spot. You see, they were not supposed to touch the ark. It was supposed to be carried by poles. They were never supposed to touch it. And David knew that. And Uzzah paid the price for it. That discouraged David greatly. So David left it at someone else's house for a time. And then he says, it's time to bring it back. So he gathers thousands of people. And he has about 160 Levites that become his worship team. And Asaph is the leader of that worship team. And so Asaph, this is where I'm going to pick this up. This is David bringing the ark back in, doing it the right way according to the law. And we're going to pick this up at 1 Chronicles 6, verses 4 to 13. But what I want to do, I want to make this a responsive reading. So I'm going to read a few verses first. And then Camille's going to help me. So Camille, would you come up? When you see things on the screen that are in red letters, that's when you read with Camille. So I want you all to stand up. And I got to bend over and tie my shoes, so forgive me. So, Camille, I'm going to read a few verses, and then we'll get into the passage you have. So here I'm setting this up with chapter 16, verses 4 to 6. Then David appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief. So Asaph is Daryl. He's the worship leader. And second to him was Zechariah, Jael, and a bunch of other cool names who were to play harps and lyres. So the word is lyres or lyres. I don't know. I like the word lyre. These are stringed instruments. Asaph was to sound the cymbals. And Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. So you have the strings, you have the percussion, and you have the horns. So this is a modern-day worship band. We need horns, Daryl.
We do.
And did you guys notice today Micah is playing guitar and the kick drum? Daryl tried to get him to put cymbals on there too, but he didn't want to show off. So here's Asaph, who's a worship leader. By the way, Asaph wrote about 15 psalms. And a lot of the themes of those songs is thanksgiving and praise. So this is who Asaph is. So he wrote this song in 1 Chronicles. We're going to start in verse 7. And this is where we'll do a responsive reading. So when you see red on the screen, read along with Camille. Then let's pray first. Father, I hope you are honored by this, Lord. Teach us through your word. Teach us through this psalm of thanksgiving. And we love you and thank you. And before we start, I mentioned about a month and a half ago when we did Philippians 2 that humility is the foundation of spiritual maturity. Remember I said that?
Yeah.
One person remembers. Reading this week, I realized with humility, gratitude is the foundation of growing in Christ. To be humble and grateful is what it means to start your walk with Jesus. It's interesting in Romans chapter 1, it says the wrath of God is revealed against unrighteousness of men. And it mentions there one of the reasons was because men are not grateful to God. That's what God's looking for, grateful hearts. So as I read this, let's remember what's at the core of our salvation and the heart of our spiritual growth is to be grateful. Verse 7, then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works.
In his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens.
Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved.
Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it.
Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Say also,
save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise.
Bless the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said,
Amen.
So we thank you, Father, and we hope these next few songs truly bless your heart. Because of Jesus, we get to sing them to you. In his name we thank you. Amen.
Forever God is with us, forever and ever.
Sing it out.
Joy at the work of your hands.
Please be seated for just a minute. We're getting back up in a second. So I forgot to mention that when David brought the ark in, you know the story, he's dancing before the Lord. And evidently he got really hot and sweaty because he took his clothes off. And he's down to basically what we would think is his undergarments. And he is in the zone. And remember his wife, Michael or McKay, I'm not sure how to say it, was not pleased. She said to him, "How undignified of you. How undignified of you to dance in front of the young maidens of Israel that way." Remember what he said?
He was obstinate.
He was David.
Not, he did not cower. Yes, wife. Right.
Don't go there. But he said, "I'll get even more undignified." Right. Praising the Lord. So feel free to dance. Don't get undignified the way David did that day, please. What I want to look at now is two doxologies, two of my favorite doxologies in Scripture. A doxology is a short, terse passage where the language is very tense, describing the greatness and glory of God. And they're all through the Scriptures. I want to read two of my favorite ones to you to set up our next three songs. First is Jude chapter 20, verses 20 to verse 15, 20 to 25. Whatever the screen says is 20 to 25. Paul and his doxologies regularly, this is not Paul, by the way, but this is Jude, but the doxologies regularly have a part where it tells us what we are supposed to do, then it's followed by what God's going to do or what we should do to honor God. So, "But you, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." Look what that tells you to do. Build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. I believe that is the second coming he's talking about. Christ is going to return and be fully merciful upon us and transform our bodies into his, which we'll preach about from Philippians in 3 weeks or 2 weeks. "Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." So that's his instructions to us. Now he goes into his doxology. "Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy." Wow. Isn't that amazing? With great joy. "To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord," and read it with me, "be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." 1 Timothy 6, my favorite doxology. So again, he gives instructions to Timothy. We can take him as our own. And then he goes into this most incredible description of our God. Timothy says, "I charge you," Paul says to Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things." How many things?
All.
"And of Christ Jesus." I charge you and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pilate made the good confession. So here's the charge. "Keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time." So Paul brings in the second coming also. Now here's the doxology. "He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality." That's an amazing statement, you guys, that only God is immortal. The rest of us are contingent upon him. We are contingent upon him. We are not immortal. He gives us eternal life, but it's not natural to us. "Who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion." And we all said,
amen.
So let's stand now and sing one of my favorite all-time songs.
"Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name."
Come on, sing it out.
"Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is. adore you. Adore you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. The splendor of the King, His clothed in majesty. Rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in love, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
If you've been following me in my morning emails, finishing the book of Judges, and that was, no, stay standing, we're not done here. That was a difficult book for me to get through, because it's just so depressing when you see, when someone turns their back on our great God, what happens to them. And I said a couple times in these morning emails over the last couple of months in Judges that you become what you worship. I want you to think about that. You become what you worship. And Israel had turned their back on the living God and pursued dead idols, idols they made with their own hands. And when you turn your back on the living God, you make your idols like you. And so your idols are no better than you are. And as much as I love you, you're not worth worshiping. So these last three songs reflected the doxology. The doxologies were about how great our God was. Is, not was. That he dwells in unapproachable light. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the only sovereign. And that we worship him waiting for that day that Christ returns to complete our salvation, to make us like him. And what a day that will be. So I know we've been singing a lot, and that's what today was about. To give thanks to the Lord through reading of his scripture and singing songs of praise to him. So I want us to finish again, starting with when Christ returns, okay? And just, both doxologies talked about the second coming of Christ. That's our hope. When our great God, who created the whole universe by speaking it into existence, became human, died, was buried, rose again, ascended to the right hand of his Father, and he sits there now, reigning until the day he returns to eradicate all sin, all tears, all pain, and death. And then truly we will have life everlasting. Let's sing to him one last time.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then heaven I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, then sings my soul.